So you're here at the Forest University, and at the university, I mean, it is up to you how much effort, you know, how much effort you put into your practice. Huh? The practice is very simple. The instruction for practice is very simple. Yeah? It's either, you know, you do samatha. Yeah, samatha is in a making the mind calm, sticking with the Buddha or sticking with the breath at the tip of the nose. Yeah? Knowing that the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out. Yeah? It's the same with the Buddha, knowing that the Buddha starts, knowing that the Buddha ends, knowing that the new Buddha comes. Yeah? Knowing that the Buddha is calm, knowing that the Buddha is fast or is slow, you know, deep or shallow, or whatever. You know, it's the same with the breath. Yeah? This is the practice of samatha, getting the mind calm. If the mind is calm and there are no more thoughts and there are no more memories, I mean, then it is like resting, yeah? We have a rest, yeah? And when we are in this samadhi, just like I explained in Thai, you know, I mean, there's no future and there's no past. There's just this present moment, yeah? There are no kilesas at that moment, there are no kilesas. Yeah? it's just knowing, you know, there's feeling, there's hearing, there's still all these things. Yeah? But we are not, yeah? But we are not separated. Yeah? And we don't feel lonely because we are not separate. We don't feel lonely. Yeah? We don't want anything. Yeah? And that gives us the peacefulness, or that gives us the happiness, yeah? Or the joy. Yeah? Samadhi, you know, can vary, you know, from a lot of different experience, you know, depending on the characteristic of the people. Just some people just feel calm, other people feel joy, other people feel happy, and so on. Yeah, other people just feel peaceful. Yeah. That depends on, it depends on what you have done in your previous life. Yeah. It all leads up. Yeah. But we have to get to this, yeah? It's called upachara samadhi or access samadhi. We have to get, every one of us, yeah? I mean, it is required. There is no way around. Samadhi, I mean, I often talk about samadhi is not an option. Yeah, we have to have at least this stage of upachara samadhi. I mean, to make, yeah, just like we have the ability to sleep in the night when we work during the day. Yeah, we need to rest the mind. Yeah, and that is samadhi. We need to rest the mind. The samadhi itself doesn't bring us any insight. It doesn't bring us any wisdom. But it cools the mind down, it puts the mind to a rest so that we can do then, yeah, afterwards, once the mind has rested enough, then we can put it at work, yeah. And the work is in the investigation. Investigation of the five khandhas. Yeah? The five khandhas is the body, is vedana, is feeling, is memory association, you know, is thought formation, thought formations and consciousness. These are the five khandhas that we have to investigate. And the first khanda we investigate is body. And the next khanda we investigate is body. And the third khanda we investigate is body. Yeah? It's always body, 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 body investigation together with bodily feeling. Yeah? That's what we investigate until we have stopped or finished the investigation of the body. Yeah? Until we finish with greed and hatred. Because that, you know, once our body investigation is finished, there is no more greed and hate. But there still is delusion, yeah? So the four, we have to tackle then, yeah? The four other khandhas, yeah? And that's where the work of, you know, that's where the work of the practitioner differs, yeah? Before, you know, I mean, for years and years and years, we just do body investigation, we open it up, or we we slash it apart, or we just take it apart, you know, I'm putting out all the limbs, you know, putting out our head, you know, doing it in detail, you know, or just open it up and removing one thing by one thing, you know, and lay it out in front of us, yeah? And then asking ourselves, yeah? I mean, if all the things are out there, you know, what sits there and knows, you know, all these things out there. Yeah. We have to have a little bit of visualization to see these parts of the body that we take from, you know, from our imagination of the body, you know, down there, you know, out there, yeah, and see, yeah. What is there? You know, what sits there? Yeah? It's a chitta that knows, you know, I mean, these are the body parts. Yeah? And which part, body part, you know, which part of the body is the body? The brain, the body? The heart, the body? The liver, the body? Which part of the body is the body? Yeah? Yeah? Then you assemble it again, you know. Huh? When do you think, you know, I mean, it depends on how you assemble it. Huh? Try to put, you know, try to put your legs at your shoulder, yeah? I mean, do you consider that a body, yeah? And your arms, you know, at the lower torso, yeah? Do you think this is a body? Do you call this a body? When do we call a body, huh? Huh? Some people have their head between, you know, between the legs, you know, I mean, yeah? I mean, would we call it as a body, yeah? I mean, when is a body, yeah? I mean, lay it out, you know, I mean, use your creativity, you know, huh? And see, you know, what is it, you know, what is it that you are so attached to, yeah? If you can get out of the body, yeah, I mean, that is wonderful, yeah? But if you can do this exercise of putting all the body parts there, and then see that the chitta and the body parts are two different things, yeah? Maybe this is enough, yeah, for the separation of the body from from the chitta, because that is I call it the third fetter. You know, I think in the text it's called the second fetter. Seeing that the body is not self. The third fetter, you know, or I call it the second fetter, is, you know, constantly, you know, fooling around with the precepts. Huh? I mean, when we are here in the monastery, we take the 8 precepts. Yeah. When we are in the world, you know, we can take the 8 precepts, or we normally take the 5 precepts. Eh? I mean, one day holding it, and then next day not holding it. That is the rule of fiddling with the precepts, the second fetter. Yeah? The first fetter is not believing in heaven and hell, and not believing in karma. I mean, Even in the West, you know, when they say, yes, it's karmic consequences, they don't understand what karma is. Yeah? Whatever happens to us right now, be it good or be it bad, is a result of our own doing. There's nobody else who does these things unto us. And this understanding has not penetrated the West. It hasn't even penetrated Thailand. Most of the people, you know, don't want to believe that it is karma, you know, that comes back to them. If they don't have money or whatever they do, they don't get rich, you know, or they don't can afford this or this happens to them or that. Huh? Some people want children and don't get children, you know, it's karma. Yeah? Yeah? Some people, you know, where the husband leaves or the wife leaves, you know, it's karma. All these things are karma. Yeah? And this karma is not from this life. This is something that is not understood correctly. Huh? They talk about instant karma. There is no instant karma. Huh? The karma comes back from the previous life. Yeah? Whatever we have done. Yeah? I mean, just think about it. Yeah? Think about it at the times of the Lord Buddha. Yeah? When Devadatta tried to kill the Lord Buddha, why didn't he go? The first time he tried to kill him into the hell, yeah? If there was instant karma. He didn't. He tried 3 times, you know? And only then on the 3rd time, you know, I mean, he was swallowed up by the earth, yeah? So, and that is very subtle. Normally, you know, when we do very bad things, yeah? And see, look at the world. Look at the Western world, you know? I mean, or look at other world. Look at other countries. There are people who do extremely bad karma. They might have a very long life. They live until 80 or 90 or 100. Yeah? But when they die, you know, they go down to hell. Because our birth, our length of our stay here in this world, it depends on the karma of our previous life. Yeah? The moment we are born in this body, I mean, our clock is ticking. And no matter what we do, the clock is ticking until it stops ticking. And when it stops ticking, that's when we die. And how we die is depending on our karma as well. If we die, you know, long, long death, you know, if we die, you know, with lots of pain, or if we die very quickly, it's a result of our karma. And that is something that most of the people don't understand or don't want to understand. Yeah? That's why the Christians call on God, you know, if something bad is happening to them, please take this away from me. Yeah? But if something good is happening to them, they don't run to God, please take this away from me. Yeah? Yeah? We think, you know, that when we do something good, it must come back instantly. It doesn't come back instantly. Yeah? It takes it time to ripe. And what did the Lord Buddha say? Some things, you know, or most of the things that we do in this life will come back in the next life. Yeah? But even some of our karma, yeah, I mean, takes several lives to come back to us because it takes time to ripe. Yeah. Just like we know, like every farmer knows, you when he plants some rice, he cannot eat it in the evening. But why don't we believe karma? Because we don't want, we don't want to, you know, that bad things are happening to us. And we want only good things that are happening to us. But it's not our karma, yeah? Whatever you have done in the past, you know, that is what you experience right now, yeah? I mean, welcome it, you know, say, okay, hello, there are you, yeah, how can I deal with you? Yeah? Don't fight it, because if you fight it, you know, it will come back, not with its own strength, plus the strength that you have fought with, yeah? Remember this, you know, if you fight certain karma, yeah, with a lot of energy, with a lot of power, don't want to see it, don't want to, you know, don't want to accept it, this is power, this is energy that you put into this karma. And then it comes back with its own karma plus the karma that you put into it. I mean, I don't understand why people don't understand. Huh? I mean, the Lord Buddha gives all these things, you know, have you read the suttas about karma? Yeah. I mean, he doesn't say, you know, who gives his life, you know, to serve other people, you know, he will be beautiful in this life. No, he said he will be beautiful in the next life, yeah? And who gives, you know, all his belongings to other people, he will be rich in the next life. He didn't say he will be rich in this life, huh? So, we only, you know, I mean, when I was in the West, I mean, we only cherry pick. We only pick the things from the suttas that we like and think, you know, this is it, yeah? We don't see the whole thing, yeah? I mean, one time there was a very beautiful fish that they caught, you know, they caught, you know, in the sea, you know, and they brought it to the Lord Buddha, you know, and said, why does this beautiful fish stink from his mouth, yeah? He said, because he lied, you know, when he was a human being, you know, he lied constantly, yeah? So, even when you're born as a fish, you know, I mean, you will have this karma, yeah? Huh? This karma will come back to you sooner or later, yeah? So remember this very well, you know, don't fight, you know, I mean, welcome it and find, yeah? I mean, if you're practitioners, yeah, we not only look, you know, we not only welcome the karma, but we look what kind of action, what kind of thoughts lead to this kind of karma. And then we eradicate the thought. And we eradicate, you know, with the thought we eradicate the action. And then this karma will not come back to us, huh? Until it, you know, it has worn out, yeah? That is what we have to do as practitioners. But it is a very hard, you know, it is very hard, you know, I mean, to teach to Westerners, yeah? They normally don't believe this, yeah? If you tell a person, you know, I mean, yeah, who is just robbed or mocked or, you know, I mean, nearly put to death, you know, that it is karma, you know, I mean, he will not accept it. Yeah? He will not be able to accept it. I mean, in Thailand, it's much more accepted, yeah? I mean, actually, in all, most of the Asian countries, yeah? Karma is much more accepted. When you hear some of the stories, you know, I mean, two people fighting each other, you know, I mean, until one is dead, you know, and then you said before he dies, you know, okay, meet you in hell, yeah? Yeah? Because they know, you know, they're going to hell. Yeah? They're going to reap the karma, the results of their deeds. It took me a long time, yeah. I mean, I started practicing in the West. I mean, what was it, 89, yeah, I started practicing in the West. I had good teachers. I had teachers from every, it's not the right word, walk of life, yeah. No, from every sect, you know, from every Buddhist sect. My first teacher, you know, I mean, he started with Mahesi Sayadaw personally, yeah. And then he went to Thailand, yeah, as a monk, and then he came back to Germany to teach. Yeah. And then I went to the spiritual capital in Devon, the spiritual capital of Europe, yeah, was in Devon, top nest in Devon. Yeah. it was amazing, yeah, I stayed there for a year, yeah, and I met every teacher, you know, that had some name, you know, in the spiritual community in the West, yeah. I met them, you know, and sometimes, you know, yeah, I took a course with them. No matter if it was Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, coming from the Vietnamese tradition, yeah, or if it was Stephen Batchelor coming from the Zen tradition in Korea, or, you know, some from the Tibetan tradition, yeah. And some from the Mahasaya Sayadaw tradition, or even Ayakema, you know, who came from the Sri Lankan tradition. Yeah? I met them all, you know, at that time, you know, the circle was not very big, yeah. So I met them all, yeah. And whatever they said, you know, whatever they taught, you know, I took what was valuable for me. Yeah? I listened to them, you know, and put it into practice if I found it valuable. But in the end, I mean, at the end, I knew that I don't know anything, yeah? And I knew that they don't know anything. They don't know the way out, yeah? They were teaching meditation, yeah? And teaching all sorts of things, you know? I mean, and being there, you know, I mean, over the time, you know, be it 6 years, you know, 6 years, yeah, probably. 6 years, you know, I accepted a lot of misinformation, no? Wrong teaching. But I knew within my heart, yeah, this is not the way out. Yeah. So I looked, you know, and one of the teachers gave me a book from Lumta Mahabodh. Yeah. It was called Straight from the Heart. Yeah. And it was really straight from the heart. Yeah. So I read it, and after two chapters I knew, yeah, who is he? I need to go and see him. Yeah. And then I went to see him. And I came to Thailand and went to his monastery. Yeah. Even though I was afraid, you know, of the Thai language and of all the different customs, I went to see him. Yeah? And when I saw him the first time, I knew I met my father, yeah, my venerable father and my venerable mother and my family. And I never needed to deviate. But the other thing I knew is, and that is a very important, yeah, that moment I came to Wat Pa Phan That and met Lungta Mahabodh, even though, you know, I was really good in practice, you know, I thought I was good, you know, the teachers, you know, told me all the things, good, nice things about me, told me, you have attained to this, you have attained to that, you know, and of course I believed it, yeah. But the moment I came to Wat Pa Phan That, I realized I hadn't even started practice. I didn't even know what practice is, yeah. All what I knew was a little bit of samadhi, yeah. I haven't even started practicing. And it took me 2 years, yeah, with a lot of effort from my teacher, Lungta Mahabodh, yeah, to correct all my false views that I had, you know, gathered over the 5 or 6 years that I was educated in the West by all these, yeah, quite famous teachers, yeah. And this is something that, you know, that the people do not understand. I mean, coming here, you know, and having the parami, yeah, I mean, the good fortune, yeah, to be with an Arahant teacher, yeah, like Lungta Mahabodh, yeah, meeting, yeah, and being with him, you know, for 15 years, yeah, seeing, you know, seeing his conduct, seeing his personality, seeing, you know, everything, yeah, and then seeing also, you know, different Arahants, yeah, at the time there were still a few Arahants around, yeah. Seeing Lumpu Li, you know, one of his disciples, yeah? They had the same quality, but they had completely different characteristics. Yeah? And seeing that and seeing the quality, you know. Or Lumpu An La, the same, yeah. Or Lumpu Chia, yeah. I mean, they had the same quality, yeah. That you can't, you know, you can't imagine that. Yeah? That there are, yeah. When there are, when you see, when I walked first, you know, through Wat Papantat, you know, I saw Lungta Mahapo, I didn't think anything. I thought, you know, he was an older monk, yeah. Because he was not there. There was not, nobody there, you know, he was just, you know, just a how, you know, I mean, walking along, yeah. But still, you know, something, you know, something pushed me down, you know, I said, I have to pay my respect to him, yeah. And that is a quality that you find only in Arahant, yeah. And I had the fortune, you know, to see these. And also see the difference. Not only one, you know, not only one example, but a different example. It is very difficult. It is very difficult for Westerners. I mean, I went back to Germany. I mean, I tried to see, you know, if there's a basis, you know, where you can teach in Germany. I mean, I spent 4 or 5 months there, you know, and went there, you know, for a few years, you know, for a retreat for a month or so, yeah. There's no basis. You cannot teach them because they don't have the basics. They're lacking the basics. Yeah? And it took me a while to understand, you know, what are the basics are, you know, for practicing. Yeah? It is respect. In the West, you know, we respect ourselves and we respect the people that we like, but we don't respect everybody. We don't respect animals, huh? We don't respect bad people, yeah? We only respect, you know, people that we like, you know, and what we think, yeah? Yeah? That is not respect, yeah? That is choosing, liking, yeah? That has nothing to do with respect. Hmm? Respect is respecting, you know, the being inside of this, yeah, personality or of this citta, yeah? Because every being has the right to be, yeah? That's why it's called a being, yeah? It has the right to be. We cannot harm it, yeah? We should not harm it, yeah? We should not take his life, you know, or we should not punish it, yeah? So, no matter how bad this person is, yeah? I mean, we still can respect it as a person, as a being, yeah? Because beings are changing, you know, their characteristic tendencies are changing over time. Yeah? Then they go to hell, you know, if they're really bad, you know, after a while they come out, and then they do the same thing, but over the time they will learn, you know, to better themselves. Yeah? So this is missing in the West. We do not respect others. We only respect people that we like, yeah, and that we think, you know, are worthwhile respecting. Yeah? And it is our judgment that says this person is worthwhile to be respected. No, every person is worthwhile to be respected. Yeah? Then gratitude. It's completely missing. Yeah? I mean, I'm talking now about the West, you know, I'm not talking about the Thai, because they are born with this, yeah? They are born with a silver spoon, yeah? They get everything at their birth, yeah? Their parents teach them gratitude, their parents teach them generosity, and their parents teach them respect, yeah? And you see that from the young people, yeah? Now it's going to change with all this influence from the West. It's changing in the same way, you know? Like, yeah? And if you don't have this basis, yeah, I mean, your samadhi will not develop and your wisdom will not develop, yeah. We do need that, yeah. And that is something that is, I cannot show that in the West, because there is no environment for this, yeah. It's only in Thailand where you can live, yeah. You live with the Thais, you see the respectfulness of the Thais, not only towards monks, they are respectful towards each other. Yeah. They greet each other, you know, they are nice to each other, they don't, you know, they don't, yeah, complain, yeah, they do complain behind the backs, you know, but not openly, yeah. Yeah, he knows it also because he lives in Taiwan, you know, so I mean, it's very similar culture, yeah. Yeah. And it does have some good, yeah. So without these, yeah, especially the generosity, you know, the generosity of the Thais. I mean, you see them coming here, yeah. I mean, before they go to work, you know, they cook, they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to cook for the monks, yeah? Think about that in the West, yeah? When I was in the West, you know, I mean, when did the Western people come and see me on Saturday, Sunday? And what did they bring? A cake, yeah? And then I asked them, should I live for 1 week on this cake that you brought me? Because you come every night, you want to have some meditation, you want to have some instruction, you want, yeah? This neediness, huh? Huh? And then they come, you know, I bring you something, yeah? Without the ties, I would not have survived in Germany. Yeah? And it is, yeah, it's the same in England, yeah? Because I lived also for 1 year in the monastery of Lumpucha, yeah? In England, yeah? It's the same thing. Who is supporting them? The ties. And wherever you go in the West, it's always the ties that support the monks, yeah? Without the ties, you wouldn't be able to live as a monk. You would die, huh? Out of hunger, yeah? And this kind of generosity or this kind of respect, you know, and also the gratitude, you know, without this, you know, I mean, we cannot, yeah? We cannot evolve in our practice, yeah? So we have to have some, yeah? I mean, without this, without a certain basis of gratitude, respect, you know, and generosity, you would not be able to stay here for a long time, yeah? It's impossible. I saw people, you know, came to the seeing Lungta Mahabo, and they wanted to stay for 3 months, and the next day they left. So often, it happened so often, yeah? Some of them were able to stay longer, you know, but most of them, you know, I mean, they were driven out, yeah? They didn't have the parami to stay there, yeah? And it's also, you know, it's karmic, yeah? So, it's a basic requisite, you know, before we even start practicing. And then we start practicing, you know, keeping sila, samadhi, panya, yeah? Keeping the 5 precepts, you know, training ourselves in samadhi, until the mind is completely calm, yeah? Yeah? There's nothing in this, yeah? There's nothing, yeah? We just stay with the breath, or we stay with the Buddha, yeah? And when we continue to stay with the Buddha, and we continue to stay with the with the breath, yeah? Until it is so too difficult, you know, to think one Buddha. Not because the Buddha is gone. We cannot form one thought anymore. That's how concentrated the mind is. The mind really closes into one point. Yeah? And you feel it, you can feel it. It's the same with this breath, yeah? At that time, you know, the breath stops, yeah? And then people get afraid, you know, because they think they die, yeah? If you tell yourself, you know, I mean, if I go to sleep and don't know what is happening, I die, yeah? I mean, that's what happens to a lot of children, yeah? That's why they need some light, you know, put some light on, you know, so that they are not afraid of the dark, yeah? What happens? We don't know if we wake up, yeah? But we go to sleep, yeah? Every day we go to sleep, you know, and we are not afraid to wake up, yeah? And that is the same thing, yeah? The breath really stops, yeah? There's no more breath, yeah? But we get afraid, yeah? But actually, you know, what we have to do is, you know, to jump into the knowingness, knowing that the breath stopped, yeah? And then everything disappears, what can disappear, yeah? And what is left is that, the knowingness, the pure knowingness, yeah? The knowingness that doesn't know object. That's it. It is important, yeah? I mean, over the years, I met so many people, especially then, you know, I mean, people came to Pantat, you know, always, you know, I mean, they were somehow attracted, yeah? Probably they heard about it, you know, they were attracted, and a lot of people came from the disciples of Mahesi Saido, yeah? And they all came, oh, I'm a Sotapanna, oh, I'm a Sakadagami, oh, I'm an Arahant, yeah? That's it, yeah? Because, you know, I mean, and then I asked, how did you come? Oh, I did the seven coach stages of enlightenment, you know, and now I'm finished, yeah? Well, I'm happy for you. Okay, bye-bye. Yeah? It is mental. Yeah? And that is what people do not understand. Yeah? The belief of us can be very strong. We can really believe it. And I went through it. Because in the Western, you know, some of the teachers said, oh, you're this or you're that, you know, you're Sotapanna, you're Sakatagami, or even one of them said, you're Nanagami. Huh? And of course we want to believe it, yeah? We want to believe it, yeah? Until we see, you know, until we feel there's something wrong. This kind of, you know, about what is going on, yeah? So I tell the people, you know, be happy, you know, I mean, oh, if you believe you're Sotapanna, believe me, yeah? I believe you, yeah? If you want to be a Narayana, I believe that you're Narayana, yeah? It doesn't change you, huh? But I'm happy for you, yeah? Because these people you cannot convince, yeah? It is impossible, yeah? I might have tried it, you know, one or two times, you know, to convince them, yeah? But it is impossible. Whatever we believe, we strongly believe, yeah? You have to destroy your belief to see what is there, yeah? When there's nothing there, I mean, then you know. And then sometimes, you know, I mean, yeah? Sometimes I just need to look, you know, and I see, and I understand. Yeah? But it's not me that understands. It's not my faculty. I don't have faculties to see and understand. Yeah? It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't, yeah? It's not part of me. But sometimes I look at a person, you know, and I see what is the problem. Yeah? And sometimes I look at the person and I don't see anything. Yeah? Because it's not a faculty of mine. Sometimes it comes, sometimes it doesn't come. So I can see, I can see, and sometimes I don't see, or most of the time I don't see. And sometimes, most of the time I don't even want to see. Because what I see is not really, elevating, yeah? Okay? So do your practice, yeah? I mean, put the most of effort. This is one of the best places, you know, for really practicing, yeah? Lungda Mahabho always called, you know, his monastery the forest monastery. At the forest monastery you can have 4 degrees, yeah? Sotapanna, Sakadakami, Anakami, Arahant, yeah? And I try, you know, to keep the monastery at the same level, yeah? Of university, so that the people are free. Yeah? The women don't have to cook food, you know? Everybody is here to practice, yeah? As much as he can, and according to his characteristics. Some people want to walk for 9 hours, some people want to sit through the night, you know, it's fine, yeah? And then they come, you know, and then they want to have a rest during the day, it's fine, yeah? Some people want to have a rest during the night, it's fine. It's university style, it's freestyle, yeah? So nobody tells you, you know, now you have to sit for 1 hour, now you have to walk for 1 hour, now you have to sit for 1 hour, because that's not where your faculties develop, yeah? Your faculties develop with your own effort, yeah? And then you sit, yeah? And you said, okay, 1 hour, that is not enough. I want to sit 3 hours, yeah? And then you sit 3 hours, you know, I'm not getting calm, you know, I want to sit 5 hours. Then you sit 5 hours, or you walk 5 hours, yeah? Whatever, yeah? That's why it's called a university, yeah? There is no classes, there is no, no. Yeah? There is instruction, there are sometimes, you know, instructions. And there's questions and answers. Okay, so use your time wisely, you know, don't waste your time, you know. You don't know, you know, I mean, when you die. You can die tomorrow, yeah. Or you can die in 50 years, yeah. And you don't know what is happening after you die. Where are you going? You don't know. Yeah? We might go to hell, yeah. We might become a ghost, yeah. Or we might go, yeah, probably not, you know, in the animal realm, yeah. Or some of us, you know, might even go to heaven, yeah. When you're in heaven, you know, there's hardly any dukkha, yeah. So, would you practice in heaven? No. I mean, people who have no dukkha never come to practice. Never seen anybody, you know, with no dukkha. Oh, I'm so happy, you know, I come and want to practice. Dukkha is the biggest motivation, you know, and we have to see it in our life, yeah? All these unsatisfactory thoughts, all these unsatisfactory feelings, yeah? That we brew up ourselves, yeah? We have to see how we brew it up, yeah? Dukkha can be a great, great incentive for us, you know, to practice, yeah? But for other people, it is a nutter that all these things don't mean anything. Yeah, not me, not mine. It doesn't belong to me. Yeah, they, some of them, you know, very few. Yeah, see it. Yeah, and that this is the motivation. Yeah, so where's the essence? You know, if all these things do not belong to me, where's the essence? Where can I find the essence of it? Actually, my teacher, my venerable teacher, said there are three doors to Nibbana. It's dukkha, anicca, anatta, dukkha. For us, mostly it's just dukkha. Impermanent. Some people, you know, I mean, see it, everything, you know, falls apart. You build something, falls apart. You are born, falls apart, you know, and then you die. The next life, we are born again, and it falls apart again. I mean, when are we going to stop? When are we going to stop being born? Yeah, because when we are not born, we don't die. Yeah? So we don't have all the stupa. Okay, that I think that is enough for today. Yeah. And remember one thing, you know, wherever you go, the only thing that you meet is yourself. And nothing changes. No matter where you go, yeah, you meet yourself. Yeah. You cannot escape yourself except, you know, when you do practice. Well, some people think, oh, I need to go there. Yeah. Ah, yes, for 2 or 3 weeks it's the same. Yeah. Well, it's nice and beautiful, you know. And then they see themselves, meet themselves again, you know, and it's the same shit, yeah? Huh? Yeah? Then they go to another place. Ah, it's so nice, it's so nice. I don't see myself, yeah? I don't see all this dukkha, yeah? And then after 3 or 4 weeks or maybe 3 months, you know, they see themselves. Ah, no, I need to go to another place, yeah? I mean, the Venerable Ananda, you know, when he went on Pindadat with the Lord Buddha, you know, I mean, they called him camel, I mean, camel hair or whatever, you know, I mean, yeah. And he didn't like this insult, you know, and he told the Lord Buddha, let's go to another city, yeah. And the Lord Buddha answered, you know, what do you do if they call you the same things, if you call your names there, yeah. Other than we go to another city. And then the Lord Buddha said, you can't escape yourself, yeah. You have to face up to it. Yeah? And no matter where you are, you can face it up. Yeah? Face up to it. Okay, now it's finished.